Now then, and welcome back to Rare Eddie One Talks podcast. I'm your host, Rare Eddie One, and welcome. Before we kick off tonight's show,
viewer discretion is advised.
It's advised, baby, because we get dark, we go deep, and sometimes we get spooky up in here. And now for the boring a little bit. I won't be a minute if you will indulge me.
Advertising. Wow.
So there is a couple of free things what you guys could do to help me out, which helps any small creator out on podcast, YouTube, Rumble. It helps any small creator out and it's absolutely free to do. I wouldn't ask if it wasn't free to do. If you are listening to this on a podcast, whatever podcast provider you are listening to, there is a couple of free things you could do what really would help me out. So hit that follow button. Absolute free for you to do, and it really helps me out. And the last free thing you could do, I think, on the podcast side is leave me a review. It could be a 1-star, it could be a 5-star. It's up to you. If you think I've earned it, leave me a review. It takes a couple of minutes. You could put, hey, you're a fucking dickhead, or, hey, this shows, hey. It's entirely up to you, but it's absolutely helps you out. And it helps out your favourite small creators out. It really, really does. And the big creators, it helps them out too. Now, if you are watching these on YouTube or Rumble, there is a whole lot of free things you could do what helps your favourite small creators out, or big creators again. So first off, hit that subscribe button. Absolute free for you to do, and it really will help us all out. And in the same area, hit that like button or dislike button. Both are engagements and both will absolutely help out. Unless it gets like 10,000 downvotes, then that won't help us all out. But you know, you get what I mean. Engagement does actually help small creators out and the big creators out, but they're generally going to get them likes and dislikes no matter what. For the small creators, it absolutely helps them out. It'll help me out massively. Another free thing for you could do is hit that share button. Absolutely free to do. And if you think there's a family or friend that you think that might like this style of content, share it with them. I may get a subscriber or even a like. Thanks to you for sharing. Thank you. And the last, but I think the most important of all, is getting them comment section. Absolutely free for you to do. And whether you like this content or you don't, or you like this video or you don't like this content or you don't like this video, your opinion does matter. It's free. Your opinion really does matter. No matter what, whether you want to send me praise or you want to send me hate, your opinion matters. It's your opinion at the end of the day. And I will always get back to you. If you've been a cheeky fuck, you'll get cheeky fuck already back. If you're sending something nice, you'll get something nice back. I will always get back in contact with you guys. It could be a day, it could be a couple minutes, it could be, you know, a couple of days, but I will always get back in touch with you guys. I will promise you that. And it's absolutely free to do, and it's your opinion. Now, with that out of the way, let's get on with tonight's show. We are diving into the most mysterious and spine-chilling story from around the world. Today, we are exploring one of the most famous alien abduction cases in history, the Allagash abductions. So dim those lights, get comfortable, and let's dive into the unknown. So before we get into the alien abduction, like I always do, I always have a drink on these. Now, it is a work night, so I am drinking a soft drink yet again. But this is something different, absolutely something I've never tried before, and it's going to be the first time I'm going to be trying it tonight. It is a Japanese soda pop. So what is it? It's Hatabin Ramun soda pop 200 ml. It's ingredients sugar, so I've done some injections, high fructose corn syrup, carbonated water. It looks interesting. I'm gonna hold it up to the camera. It's got instructions on how to drink this. I never thought I would drink a drink that has instructions on how to drink it. Now I am being hyperbolic. It is instructions on how to open this. I have a cloth just in case we fucking. So you peel back, you peel this back to release something.
Oh,
I've already dropped it, folks. So I picked it up. So you release, and you looks like you push this down. No. Here we go, folks. I'm not the brightest of the bunch, but we'll get there. So you pop that in there, and as I gather, you twat it down. So that was quite uneventful, thankfully. I don't want it going on my equipment. So if you can tell, there's a little ball what's gone in there, and we're gonna give this drink a try. Cheers. Smells sweet. It's a glass bottle as well. I appreciate a glass bottle. Smells sweet. Don't smell too much. It just smells of sweetness. It's absolutely delicious. What does it remind me of? I can't think of what it reminds me of, folks. It's not like a cream soda pop. It's not like anything I've ever tried before. It's nice, don't get me wrong, it's delicious. It's really nice. What would I give out in the pop rating? I would have to give this. So Pepsi Max Cherry is my favourite. One chug, everyone knows the rules. It's interesting. It's sweet, but it doesn't have a fruitiness to it, like a pop would, or a colaness to it. It's quite refreshing. It's quite refreshing. I would give that an 8, a dead simple 8. I'm going to give that an 8. Now, how would I feel the next time I drink it? I don't know. Anyway, cut that game music. Let's get on with tonight's show. Our story begins in August 1976. In the remote wilderness of Allegheny, Maine, four young art students, Jack and Jim Wiener, Charlie Froats and Chuck Ratt, set out on a canoeing and camping trip, seeking adventure and inspiration. Little did they know their trip would become the stuff of nightmares. On the night of August 26th, the group decided to go night fishing on Eagle Lake to mark their campsite. They built a large bonfire. As they finished in the pitch darkness, Chuck Rack felt an eerie sensation of being watched. When he turned around, he saw a large, bright spear of light hovering silently above the trees. The light grew closer, and suddenly a beam of light engulfed the men. The next thing they knew, they were back on the shore with their bonfire reduced to embers. Hours had passed, but they had no memory of what happened during that time. I wonder how much alcohol they took on this trip. years later under hypnosis. This is where I might have problems with this story. All four men re-encountered similar experiences. Now, similar isn't the same, but similar is better than different. Being taken, I know that was really retarded to me, I do apologise. Experience of being taken aboard a spacecraft and subjected to medical examinations by humanoid beings. Their stories were documented by UFO researcher Raymond E. Flower in his book The Allagash Abductions. But not everyone believes their story. In 2016, Chuck Rack, one of the foremen, claimed that the abduction never happened and that the story was fabricated for financial gain. He also mentioned that they were under the influence of recreational drugs on the night of the alleged abduction. I asked the wrong question. I asked how much alcohol they took. It is maybe better if I'd have asked how much weed or coke or meth these fuckers had. They're art students, so probably a lot of all of it. This revelation sparked controversy. Believers argued that the consistency of the men's stories under hypnosis and the physical and psychological effects they experienced are undeniable evidence of an alien encounter. They point to the detailed description of the craft and beings, which were remarkably similar among all four men. So let's have a look at some of the aliens. Let's have a look what they described the aliens to be, folks. So the aliens, the appearance were described as being humanoid in shape, but similar in stature, around 3 to 4 feet tall. They had large bald heads with prominent almond-shaped eyes. Very, very common. Very common grey alien, short grey. Skin and features. Their skin was said to be greyish and smooth. With no visible hair, they had small slit-like mouths and nostrils, and their eyes and their ears were either very small or not visible at all. Communication. The men reported that the aliens communicated telepathically, meaning they could understand the aliens' thoughts without them speaking out loud. And lastly, the behavior. The aliens were described as being calm and methodical during the examination, showing no signs of aggression or emotion. This leads to the theory that grey aliens could be android, could be AI, could be robot of some sort, that they're going very methodically. They're communicating telepathically. How would a computer communicate to another computer? It'd be quiet, wouldn't it? It'd be through the internet, it'd be through, you know, Bluetooth. You wouldn't hear a computer talk to another computer unless you got like an old spectrum. So yes, with them being very methodical during the examination as well, they've got a goal. They stick to their goal, and once they won't diverge from their goal, their plan, their program, they won't diverge. They'll stay on their program until it's done. Very robot-like, and it does. There is a lot of reports out there that people believe grey aliens, particularly short grey aliens, to be android or robot or some sort of AI. Which, you know, if a species is travelling throughout the stars, our bodies wouldn't handle it. Who knows, these aliens might have, you know, not. They may be cyborg. Who knows? That could be us from the future. The possibilities are endless. I believe the possibilities are endless. I know that's boring, but that's what I believe. Anyway, let's get back to the story. I just thought that was quite interesting. So, skeptics on the other hand suggest that the story could be a result of false memories, sleep paralysis. I can never say this word, so I'm going to have to read it out, folks. My tongue just doesn't work.
Paralysis.
Or influence of drugs. They argue that the hypnosis session could have been implanted or reinforced these false memories. That is definitely interesting. So what are some of the skeptics saying about this case? What are some of the skeptics? What do some of the skeptics believe in this case? Let's have a look, folks. So this case has a significant skepticism over it over the years, especially with Chuck Ratt coming out and admitting that parts of his stories were fabricated. So inconsistencies in the testimonies. One of the men involved, which I've just related to, Chuck Ratt, later admitted that parts of their story were fabricated. He specifically challenged the claim about the lost time they experienced, suggesting that the fire they left burning at the campsite could have burned out much faster than they initially thought. That's quite interesting. That is actually quite interesting. A quite interesting thought. It's not one would think wood just burns. I know you get faster burning wood, and I know you get faster burning oils and fuel. That's a bit weird. It's a bit weird. Influence of drugs and alcohol, which is, yeah. Rack also mentioned that the group had used recreational drugs on the night of the alleged abduction, which could have influenced their perceptions and memories. Hypnosis and false memories. Now, hypnosis, it's come under a lot, especially throughout time. It's come under a lot. It's not great. It's not accurate. It just becomes less reliable. Skeptics like Dr. William Cole argue that the strange nightmares and confusions under hypnosis could have been influenced by popular media about aliens rather than actual events. Hypnosis is known to sometimes create false memories, especially when subjected to exposed to leading questions or suggestions. Sorry. So, where are you saying here that they could be influenced by aliens? So one of the other motives was financial gain. So, what's to say these four guys got together in the woods, or you know they got together? They're art students that may be struggling financially, or maybe want to get a bit of notoriety, and they have, you know, a crazy plan. Let's, you know, fake an alien abduction. Maybe one of them's into hypnosis and might be able to hypnose the other three to put a false memory in these guys' heads, and all that guy had to do was remember what he told them for when he went into his hypnosis. That's quite a possible thing for them to do. Definitely, it does. As much as I always like to try and lean to the belief with these kind of stories, well, with all alien stories, to be honest with you, but this one I'll find it hard to lean to the belief. But you'll have to wait until we get to the end to hear my thoughts. And finally, motivations for fame and financial gain. Some skeptics believe that the men might have been motivated by the potential for fame and financial gain from their story, as is often the case with high profile abduction claims. I've heard about this case, but I would I would wonder how much money they've made from this case, from these stories. So let's have a look at some of the key before we get into my thoughts, the key details of the Algash abductions, the incident, four frames, which we've gone over, the abduction according to their account, the light approached them, and they experienced a period of missing time, which is very common with abduction stories. They later recall under hypnosis, which we've just gone over, they were taken on board by a spacecraft where they were subjected to medical examination by alien beings. Physical evidence, they reported that the campfire they had left burning brightly when they went fishing had burned down to embers. That's not the greatest evidence. By the time they returned, suggesting a longer period of missing time than they initially realized. Publicity and skepticism, the case gained significant attention and was featured in various media, including TV shows and books. However, it has also faced skepticism, with critics pointing out inconsistencies, which we've just gone over, people creating influence or planting false memories. It's highly possible, but let's continue my year. So what are some of the theories behind alien abduction? So this isn't specifically on this case, this is just on the alien abductions as a whole. Sleep, I can't say this word, so we're gonna have to read it out. Sorry, folks.
Paralysis.
During sleep paralysis, I butchered it, I do apologize. A person is awake but unable to move, often experience vivid hallucination. These hallucinations can include seeing figures or feeling a presence in the room, which might be interpreted as an alien encounter. A lot of these stories I come across, it's more of like the old hag, the hat man in the corner. Oh, some of these stories are absolutely terrifying, and it's a genuine case. This genuinely does happen to people, and I'm so grateful it doesn't happen to me. False memories. Some psychologists believe that abduction stories can result from false memories created through suggestion, hypnosis, or influence of popular culture. So in the 70s, alien and abduction was massive. You had the Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T., War of the Worlds. I'm just going off memory now. You had so many fantastic alien stories, alien films, books, H.G. Wells. You had it all. And some of the greatest pop culture, alien pop culture known. Psychological factors. Certain personality traits and psychological conditions might make individuals more prone to experiencing and reporting abduction phenomena. Cultural influence. The prevalence of UFO and alien themes in the media can shape people's perceptions and experiences. Lucid dreams, another real and terrifying thing if you don't know how to control it or get yourself out of it. Some abduction experiences might actually be lucid dreams, where the dreamer is aware they are dreaming and can control the dreams to some extent. It's definitely number five and number one are pretty much the same. Lucid dreaming and sleep paralysis, different but the same. They are different but very similar. So lastly, we will touch on, so did they actually mention any specific technology or equipment on the spacecraft? So yes, during the hypno session, the men provided some descriptions of the technology and equipment they encountered on the spacecraft, which is absolutely huge. The examination table, they described being placed on a flat metallic table that seemed to be designed for medical examinations. The lighting, The interior of the spacecraft was brightly lit, but the light source was not easily identifiable. It seemed to emanate from the walls and ceiling, creating a uniform illumination. Various instruments were mentioned, including devices that resembled needles and other medical tools. These were used during the examination, though the exact nature of and function of many of these instruments were unclear. Screens and panels. So this was in the 70s. This is going to be interesting, I hope. They also described seeing screens or panels with lights and symbols which they couldn't understand. These might have been control panels or monitoring devices. Now, I'm not sure what the hospitals, the doctors, the nurses had in the 70s for monitoring devices. Was it on one of them big CTR TVs? Was it on a big fat boy TV? I don't know. Because what that says to me, panels and screens or panels, it sounds like an iPad sort of thing. What emanated lights and symbols. If I took an iPad back to, you know, the medieval time, would they understand what was being seen on the iPad? Would they maybe I would, it was just the time. So maybe the iPad was just seeing the time. So 1942. Would they necessarily, that's a weird looking symbol. Do you think it's 1942? Do you think they would understand? That's interesting. That definitely is interesting. And a floating sensation. Some of the men reported a sensation of floating or being moved without physical contact, suggesting that some form of advanced technology for manipulating their bodies. Which, yeah, that's a no-brainer, I would have thought. And lastly, and why the hell not, did they mention any other beings on the spacecraft? The men primarily described encountering the small grey humanoid beings during their abductions. However, there were a few additional details that hinted at the presence of other beings or entities. So different types of aliens, some accounts, so this isn't necessarily involved in the case itself, but some people have been abducted and they've witnessed other alien species what are either in control or been abducted themselves. Some accounts suggest that there might have been different types of aliens present, possibly including taller beings that seem to be in charge. However, in charge or overseeing the smaller ones, these taller beings were less frequently mentioned and not as clearly described. Now, I don't know how, if this was a thing in the 70s, but it is understood that the tall aliens, the tall grey aliens, are actually a higher form of being to the short grey aliens. That the tall grey aliens are actually the being, and their short grey alien are actually an android or a robot. Telepathic presence. The men reported a sense of being observed or monitored by unseen entities, which could imply the presence of other beings that were not directly visible to them. And lastly, shadowy figures. In some descriptions, they mentioned seeing a shadowy figure or silhouettes in the background, which added to an eerie atmosphere of the spacecraft. that is why, that is exactly why we get in sleep paralysis and lucid dreamings, because they had a shadowy figure. They mentioned a shadowy figure, and if they were trying to monetize, if they were trying to pull the wool over people's eyes, that's sometimes more, sometimes less is more. But anyway, whether you believe in alien abductions or not, the Algash abduction remains a fascinating and spooky tale. Whether it's true or not, it's a definitely spooky tale. It's a story that blurs the line between reality and the unknown, leaving us to wonder what really happened that night in the Algash wildness. So my thoughts on this, I really want to lean to the belief. I really, really, really want to lean to the belief. But unfortunately, I can't. When people, when they're making money off of it, it's, I don't blame them. If I had gone through a fucked up experience, I would want to try and monetize from it myself. But I'm not going to look into it, because I know if I look into it, I'll just be disappointed. How much money did they earn? Did they gather up from this experience? Because I imagine they do all the UFO conventions. I imagine they had a big book deal, big TV show deals. I imagine it all. So I would just be disappointed, and it would lead me not less to the not believe, and it would lead me right to not believe. It's just very unfortunate that people seems to be, their sole focus is monetizing from their, from these stories. Why not want to try and just get your story out there, and then, you know, then try and monetize from it? It sounds to me, when I was putting this all together, that they were initially wanting to monetize from it. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But that's what it sounded like to me. Whether you come with a different conclusion, please let me know. Because that's what it is. That's what it sounds like to me, that they monetized. That was one of their main goals, to monetize from it. Disappointing. Very, absolutely very disappointing. Very disappointing. So, anyway, thanks for tuning into Where Anyone Talks. If you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit like and subscribe. Hit that bell icon for more mysterious stories. And if you're interested, I am putting out on YouTube and Rumble Where Anyone's Thrills, Chills and Mysteries all under 5 minutes. So if you are interested in that, hit that subscribe button, and you might as well hit that like button as well. So if you want more mystery stories and spooky stories, get yourself subscribed. So until next time, keep your eyes on the skies and your mind open to the unknown, because you never know who wants to maybe come and try and finger you. Maybe Santa, maybe Dumbledore. Someone might want to try and come and finger you. Anyway, I've been your host, Rare Anyone. Stay naughty, stay rude, but more importantly, stay fucking filthy. I will see you next week. Peace.